It's with Whitney, it's a matter of making billions out of somebody who is on the way out. It's a very cold and brutal way they look upon artists. You know, it used to be about talent. Now it's about money.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, these little girlies and boys that are, first of all, they're on the Disney Channel presenting a Disney show and all bright and sparkly. And then suddenly any of them that, you know, run the test of time and have a bit of talent about them, even if it's a modicum of talent, they end up pop stars, don't they? Either from soap operas like Kylie or Jason Donovan, or from Disney, Britney Spears and those type of people. And then they end up Miley Cyrus's and that type of woman, sort of acting very, very strange, doing weird and wonderful things. And then, I don't know, being very young children's heroines, heroes, etc., and then suddenly becoming weird druggies and sexual deviants.
Yep. It's a very tragic scene and a very dangerous scene to get into as well. I really would like to advise people, you know, to be aware of this fame, you know, this search for fame all the time, because the price is very, very high once you get into these areas, especially when you start getting up there. It's like there's a lot of them saying more or less literally that they're selling their souls, that they sold their souls to get to where they are.
Yeah, I've even heard things about, you know, when you get to a certain amount of stardom on this planet, whether it be via Hollywood or the music industry, that one does actually sit and fill out a bloody contract with them and sell one's soul. I mean, I've never seen it. I've never, you know, had anyone say it to me, apart from people who go down the route of saying that that's what they've done. They have sold their soul to the devil. Do you know? Like, I suppose, you know, I met Bono years ago and had a chat with him for a good 2 hours backstage at one of the gigs on the war tour when I was living in England. And seriously, the guy was talking common sense, brilliant stuff. I thought, Jesus, this guy has got to meet and greet some of the world leaders, because he's got something to say to them. And then when he started meeting and greeting them, I thought, fantastic, he's using his position of fame to do that. But now I hear he's, you know, supporting Monsanto and helping Bill Gates basically cull the planet.
I can only say I'm just standing like a big question mark and watching what's going on. I have no idea, but I can totally support what you're saying. What happened with Bono and these other people, but I don't know. But there's a major change down the road.
There is.
There is. It's very, very sad to see. And, if it's greed that takes over, or if it's you know, that they lose normal, I don't know what to say, but I can just see that it happens again and again.
It really does. I mean, some people who you think, I mean, now we've got Bob Geldof, who, again, you know, I was an old punk rocker, and when I went to watch the Boomtown Rats, which I saw many, many times, both in Ireland and in England, they were bloody fantastic live band, incredible musicians, fantastic lyrics written by Bob. He'd even get down and collect money for whatever charity. He was a charitable person back then, a typical Irish sort of way, very, very generous, which is why cancer bloody organisations still make shitloads of money here in Ireland, because they're lies and they still get funded. But Bob was doing all this stuff, and then he did Live Aid, and which actually people think that Bob Bonner was involved in. He wasn't. He became famous because of Live Aid, and became massive superstar because of Live Aid. But Bob, you know, organized it with Midgeur and a few other people, and they were genuinely doing it, I think, for the right reasons. But now we've got Bob Geldof making sure he's part of a group of people bringing smart meters into every home in the UK. I mean, that's murderous bullshit. I mean, the guy was a punk rock hero, and now he's a lackey to the murderous bastards who are the elites running this planet and culling us.
I can just say, it's really, really sad to see it happen. How they get to these people, I don't know. But I mean, he was knighted as well, wasn't he? And
well, again, I would have turned that down if I was Irish, wouldn't you?
the thing is, when you look at the elite and how it's structured and how central the English royal family are, and by the way, they're not even English, they're, no, it's a German family.
Indeed.
I would do, I think it was John Lennon who sent it back, as far as I know, when he was knighted. If I remember right, I would not touch these things with a pair of forks, you know?
No, exactly. In fact, they're probably holding the forks with their, with their strange tongues and tails, I think.
This is the thing, when you look into, now we get back to Whitney here.
Yes.
Quite, there's some of these, assassinations that are carried out in such a weird way. I'm just saying, you look at the evidence and you see what's going on and you can just see, oh my God, this is so sick. This is so weird. And if you want to, I can go into a little detail around Whitney Houston.
No, I'd absolutely love to hear it, because that's the one thing that I, you know, when you talk of Bob Marley, John Lennon, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, you're talking about incredible lyrics and power and gift. Whitney was just a good singer. And was she related to, who was it, Dionne Warwick?
Yeah.
So she actually is part of the music elites anyway. And the media did sort of say from rags to riches type of thing. And that was bullshit anyway, wasn't it?
No, but she was an absolute incredible vocalist.
Yes.
Absolutely incredible. And she came from this family of incredible singers. But the thing is that when you get into this music scene where money is the thing that counts, money, success, that's the only thing that they go for. And then you start becoming, you know, 40, 45, 48 in her case, you're going downhill. And also she was, her whole career was going downhill. She did some really weird, like a live documentary type of weekly thing together with her husband where they just made absolute fools of themselves.
Right.
And this is a woman who made billions, you know, over the years. And then it came to a point where she was losing her voice due to drug usage and other things. And she was just, you know, becoming a somebody that they could very easily get rid of, that didn't gain them any money at all.
So it would be worth more to them dead than alive, because they could.
This is the thing. This is what is so macabre, you know, and, people in the music business has mentioned this. Chaka Khan, for instance, who was a close friend of Whitney Houston, she was told straight on from some of the people that watch out, because you're worth more dead to us than alive. And the same went with Whitney Houston as well. So it's like when you see how things before her death were so prepared. The whole setup was so prepared for making an absolute super sale as soon as she died, you know. And this is how you can see the setup. You can see it on Wall Street, on iTunes, on Sony, all of these things, how the whole thing was built up. And then the crescendo was boom, she died. And they within, she wasn't even dead, more or less, before all the prices doubled, you know, on iTunes and so on. The whole, you know, it was just before, what's it called, Valentine's Day as well. And she was the singer when it came to romantic songs.
Sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Always, what was the name? Always You.
Yeah, I Will Always Love You.
I Will Always Love You.
But do you know what? Let's before we go into it, shall we play a tune from Whitney?
Please do.
Okay, well, I just thought that what she was worth when she died, when she was at the top of her game, she was worth loads, but what she was worth when she died was probably this. It's a song called Million Dollar Bill. Let's have a look.
Came in the door, check
And welcome back to Out of the Bag. This is Sean Maguire live on People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And that was Whitney Houston with Million Dollar Bill. An amazing voice, absolutely amazing voice. Not my scene at all, didn't really like the disco stuff, but she definitely had an amazing gift. And wow, she could belt it out, couldn't she, Ollie?
She sold 170 million albums. I mean, that is a lot. I don't know how many hits she had, but it was like incredible. Her career was just absolutely incredible.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then to make a number one around the world with an old Dolly Parton number, you know, anyway.
Yeah. But my God, did she do it well? I mean, it was just amazing. That song, I think.
But then she went and she was a pretty crap actress, wasn't she?
I don't know. What do you say? I mean, Kevin Costner had an awful haircut, but the film made billions as well. And I tell you, they were just about to do a remake of
So Bodyguard of
the
film, 2.
The Bodyguard, yeah, as well.
Yeah. Oh,
right. And the whole setup, I'm talking about how to prepare the whole thing, is also they had a new singer by the name of Jennifer Hudson, and she had just been announced and called the new Whitney, and she even sang "I Will Always Love You" at the Grammys.
Right, you know? Right.
And the very evening before she died, Clive Davis, who was her manager, the guy who allegedly discovered her. I mean, he is a legend within the music industry.
Yes.
But I would put a very big question mark around his, you know, his agenda.
Yeah. What do you think his agenda is? What do you think the question marks are?
At the Piers Morgan show, he talked about Jennifer Hudson as the new Whitney, and that was the evening before the death. You know, so it's almost like they were preparing the subconscious of people that we're doing also the new movie Sparkle had just finished production. Everything was set, you know. Also, there was a lot of preparation when it came to the remake and re-releases of her songs and so on. So the whole thing was set up for a major sale.
But okay. Well, I can see all this that you're talking about with Whitney, but it's where she fits into this being bumped off type of thing. I'm not quite sure it fits the bill, does it, with all the rest of them? She wasn't really going out there and saying anything that was mind-blowing, world-shattering, going to change people's opinions on the elites and all the rest of it. She wasn't doing a Bob Marley. She wasn't doing a John Lennon, was she?
No, absolutely not. But this was purely for the money. And there's very many similarities with Michael Jackson, where he died. But he was starting to really speak out against Sony, the ownership. We're talking back in the same power elite. So it's the same power structure that he challenged, and they later died in mysterious ways. And there's similarities and connections with Whitney's death as well. But if you want, I can just go into some details.
Yes, please do.
Okay, she died on February the 12th, which was 2 days before Valentine's Day, 2012. Normally, when it comes to many of these assassinations, when they're done as a sacrifice, we were talking about these very odd things that goes on sometimes, they're very much into numerology and dates and the location when somebody is taken out. Mm-hmm. Why? You have to ask them, because once again, we're talking about a very sick mind, I would say.
Yeah, we could be going down satanic routes and all that type of thing.
It is. I don't want to go down there, but I just want to point it out, because when it came to her, there were so many odd things going on there.
Yes.
But she died in the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles in room 434. This hotel is right on Wilshire Boulevard. And if you're into these type of things with the elite and all the symbolism and so on, I would suggest check it out on Google Map, the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. If you zoom in on that, you will see that on the roof of this hotel, there's a lot of big sun symbols, which are Freemasonry symbols used sometimes in different variations. But also the building is almost pointed as an arrow. And if you follow the way the arrow is pointing, and very close nearby it is the Century Plaza Towers. When you look at the Century Plaza Towers, they're triangular, mm-hmm. these towers. And also inside it, in the garden, you have a perfect Freemasonry pyramid with the all-seeing eye on the lawn. If you look from above, you have to look from different angles because Google Map have changed it so that you can't really see these things close by. When you go on down on street level, they don't show you the exact angles, nice. You know, but you will still see if you combine the different photos, you can make out that they're perfect, a pyramid form with the all-seeing eye. And the all-seeing eye also is right outside on the Avenue of the Stars, very symbolic, in a fountain. Where the fountain is shaped exactly like the all-seeing eye as well. This is I'm just pointing out coincidence. I don't know. I'm just pointing out that sometimes when they do these things, very often the details like this. Okay, so the official story is that she had come, and the reason she had come to this hotel was that Clive Davis had a pre-Grammy party with 800 guests invited to the ballroom downstairs. I mean, this was more or less the entire music industry that was downstairs. Mm-hmm. And the official story is that Whitney had been out partying with a new friend. This new friend had been following her a couple of days. And this is also very often before somebody's taken out, that there's somebody that joins them and makes them look really bad, and prepare them. It was during these days that there were lots of photos taken where she looks absolutely blown out of her mind of drugs and drunk and so on. This is the time when, together with this companion that she didn't know from before. Anyway, she entered her bedroom or hotel room at 2:30 in the afternoon, and she was discovered dead in the bathtub around 3:30, which is an hour later, by a bodyguard and some other people. But when she was found, her head was underneath the water and her feet outside the bath. Hmm. Okay. And the body was already cold. Now, how is that possible? If you die within an hour, I'm in a normal death, your body won't even get cold. And if you're in a bathtub with hot water, how can the body be cold so fast?
Would the water getting cold quicker make that happen? I don't know.
What do you mean? The body just goes like into an ice cube and that cools down the water?
No, that's not what I was thinking. But water, dead, you know, have you often been in a hot bath, Ollie? And then, you know, you think, bloody hell, that's cold. And you end up having to add hot water to it.
She entered the hotel room 2:30 and she was found dead 1 hour later in the bathtub. The body was already cold.
Okay, I got you.
That does not make sense. It takes hours for the body to get cold. Yep. It would also take at least an hour or two before the hot water in the bathtub would get cold, you know, so it, mm-hmm. that doesn't make sense. Also, one thing that was very odd was that the exact same happened the day before to her 18-year-old daughter, Bobby Christina, where she was found in the bathtub almost unconscious. Mm. And the friends, because Whitney had rented the whole, level of the hotel, the whole suite, a massive big thing.
Okay. The whole floor, like, for everyone, yes.
Sorry?
The whole floor of a hotel.
The whole floor. And the day before, Bobby Christina, her 18-year-old daughter, were found, her friends came and were knocking on the door. She didn't open, so they were, you know, knocking really hard. Nobody answered. So they got security, got the door open, and she was found and pulled out of the bathtub almost identical to the way that her mother died 24 hours later.
That's mad, isn't it?
Very strange. I'm just pointing out strange things.
And what if she'd have died? What if the daughter had died? That would be even more insane, and they would have had to come public with it.
The question is, was Bobby Christina the actual victim that they were aiming for, or had they their theory saying that the champagne that was delivered to this floor, to this suite, was laced, and that was what knocked them out?
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just pointing out things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 2 a.m. the night before she was found dead, 2 a.m., we're talking like 12 hours before.
Yes.
The bed, the hotel room underneath the suite was flooded by a massive leakage. Water was just coming down the walls and so on. And the guest who was downstairs, his bathroom was just getting totally flooded. So he ran and got people from the hotel, and they went up to the room. And the guy who opened the door said, you know, he was the guy who said to this guest that this is actually Whitney Houston's suite. They went in there, and what he saw was there was some report saying that he heard some loud noises before that. But when they opened the door and when he didn't see the bathroom, but what he did see was that there was a big flat screen TV that had been smashed. Mm. So there's, I would say, the possibility of her dying there, that she was actually killed there in the bathroom, or put in the bathtub there 12 hours before. Suddenly it makes sense with the temperature of the body, her body being cold, at that point later on in the afternoon, you know, the leakage and the body temperature. Suddenly that makes sense. So, also what was so odd was that they called for doctors and then Clive Davis asked the security of the hotel to leave Whitney's body in the hotel room for 12 hours.
Hmm.
How odd is that?
That's incredible.
And this is right on top of the ballroom with 800 people. The whole entire music industry in Los Angeles is downstairs, while Whitney is lying up there dead.
Yeah, that's pretty insane, and isn't it?
She was, the coroner was told by the hotel management and security, I would say indirectly Clive Davis, not to remove the body. So the body was there, and it was not moved until after midnight, even though she was found dead at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, you see, that just opens up more questions rather than giving us any answers, doesn't it?
But this is when we go into these awful ritual sacrifices where they're really into water and you know, the spirit. And I don't even want to go in there, but I tell you, odd things, very odd things.
Sure.
And then she said to have taken drugs, and that is the thing, you know, she took drugs and had some wine, and that was what knocked her out. These drugs were from the same chemist as Michael Jackson's drugs were found.
Mm.
His name is Mickey Free. And the drugs that were found in Michael Jackson's home came from the exact same chemist.
Right, that is incredible, isn't it? Now one would say, ah, sure, you know, they're celebrities. They mix with the same people, and they would have the same doctors, the same chemists, etc.
Maybe. I'm just pointing things out. I don't know the truth. I don't know who did it. I can just say that it's very obvious that something very, very strange happened this day.
Most definitely. I mean, to leave the body there that long, Ollie, was a bit strange.
Yeah, you can say that too. I mean, it's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a thing like that?
No, that's...
While there's a party going on with the whole music industry just down below.
Yeah.
Very odd.
It is incredible.
Very odd. And also, her husband, Bobby Brown's sister, Leola, she has been almost like on a crusade trying to expose that this was a murder. And also they've been very afraid that Bobby Christina's life was threatened as well.
Mm. Now, I tell you, Ollie, we often get a few curveballs from the chat room, but I want to ask you this, and then we'll get back to Whitney and maybe even John Lennon before we finish. But Rick Field says, a bit off topic, Sean, apologies for that, but does Ollie know about the, and he says Belgian twins that ran out in the middle of the motorway, and any background to that.
Yeah, and they were not Belgian, no, they were Swedish.
Yes, exactly. They were Scandinavian.
Very, very, very odd.
Do you know about this?
Very interesting.
Ursula and Sabina Eriksson, twin sisters. Yeah. So, do you know anything about that?
I've seen the documentary, that's it.
Okay.
But I can only say that the behavior is very much like behavior that I've heard about when it comes to mind control and how they're being used and going through these awful, awful experiments to be prepared as Manchurian candidates and so on.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And Nick Nomick in the chat room also says, drink, drugs, and dead in a bathtub sounds very similar to Jim Morrison's death.
I totally agree. And at the same time, there's big question mark around Jim Morrison. There's quite a few people that claims that she's still alive.
Yes, there are.
But there you go. There's always these rumors. I don't know. I haven't really looked into his death so much.
Yeah, he's in the same band as Whitney and Elvis.
He is the same. You know, the legends, the myths.
Yeah. You see, that they have to chuck those out there as well to make sure that people are, you know, put off the scent of what's really going on. And Ollie, you're being incredibly good at bringing all those things together. And I appreciate that you don't want to go down the satanic route, but it really does look a lot like ceremony, doesn't it?
In my opinion, I'm sorry to say, but yes, when it comes to Whitney, I would say definitely.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. But they have this thing with when they take out people, very often within a year, they erect an obelisk within 100 meters from the place where they were assassinated. An obelisk or the eternal flame or some other Freemasonry symbol. And you will see that the JFK, all of Palmer, Diana, there's so many of them.
Also, they mark the spot, don't they?
Sorry? They mark the spot. I don't know why they do it. It's almost like they're leaving a business card or they have this secret language that only they know, you know, with symbolisms and all types of decorations, geometry, these things. I'm not an expert on these things. I can just say that they keep repeating when you start looking into these things, a very reoccurring phenomenon.
Absolutely. We've got many, many shows that have been on and will be in the future on People's Internet Radio, you know, delving much, much deeper into those, you know, sacred geometry situations and Freemasonry stuff and all the rest of it. And it beggars belief. It's beyond belief that these people are linked to the controllers of the planet, you know, and as you say, it's just a few people. And they've managed to control religions, invent religions even, and totally control masses and masses of populations all over this world. So the 7 billion that you say, there's 7 billion of us and there's only a couple of thousand of them. Ah, if only the 7 billion were awakened to the few thousand and the shite they're doing and be able to stand up to the plate and get rid of them.
Do you know, transcend is the word. Revolution is not the word, in my opinion, because if you look at the word revolution and you see in world history what has happened, history just repeats itself. The people that take over within a year or two, they're even worse than the one that were there before.
So the revolution is going. Revolution is going round in circles. Well,
that is what the word means.
Yeah,
know, revolution. So I would say that evolution is the way to go. How to transcend is how to evolve out of this chaos, to see and learn from what is going on so that we don't go down this road again, because it's an absolute disgrace. I think we should all be ashamed of ourselves that we have let this go on for such a long time.
We are all responsible. We are all as guilty as each other for allowing this to go on. And until we, you know, stand up and be counted and speak the truth, we're not going to get anywhere. So this is what we're doing, Ollie.
This is what I have no personal gain in doing this. I spent 30 years of my life and I've been in a situation where I risk my life as well. But I just feel this is the way to go. This is, we need to do this. There's not really an option here.
No, exactly. I'm actually getting a bit fed up, you know, because I thought we'd shared. I thought we'd communicated. I thought people had woken up. I was being maybe a little bit optimistic, you know. But I do think there needs to be a revolution, evolution, and then we need to evolve our minds and turn away from what we are seeing. It's more of a spiral and an upward spiral we want rather than a downward one. And I can't believe that people aren't actually, you know, in their masses, walking away from their masses, I suppose, and waking up to what's really, really going on.
But I would say they are. It's just that you don't see it in main media. There's an incredible awakening going on. I know in Germany, for instance, Germany, Austria and Switzerland, now every Monday they meet, I don't know what they call the whole thing, they're meeting in the thousands, gathering, just exchanging information, educating each other, you know. And I think within a very short time, it's gone to 110 different cities in Germany, Austria and Switzerland. And I know that I, just with my the interviews that I've been given, which are many now, but I've reached millions of people, and that's just me. And there's so many other incredible people out there who are doing their utmost, you know. So there's a video on YouTube that I think is amazing. It's called The Tiny Dot.
Yes, that's brilliant. Yeah, it's
so symbolic of what's going on and how small this group is. I can also say that, you know, during the Stalin terror regime, the way that he controlled the people, because he had a massive, massive country to control. I mean, the Soviet Union and Russia in the old days, I mean, it was so, so big. But he managed to control it by terror. And the way he did was with a very small army, a small group of soldiers. But what he did was he hit people when they were at night, you know. They came 3 o'clock in the morning, knocked on the door, come on, get out, get out, get out. If they had done it in the open, you know, and daylight, people would have just said, oh my God, they're only 13. Let's go and have a beer and, you know, go away. It's a joke. But because they've been hiding and ruling in the dark, we're letting us get scared from him. And there's no reason.
No.
It's also because it's only by our cooperation and all these people all of us who are taking part of this game, you know, who are anything from electricians or truck drivers who are in the States who are equipping the FEMA camps or people in this England and so many other countries who are delivering surveillance equipment and making a bundle. I mean, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, am I in any way part of this? And if so, please let me stop it. Let me do everything I can to be my part of stopping this whole thing.
Absolutely. It's not an excuse these days to say I'm just doing my job and feeding my family. It's not enough when, you know, if only these people, like people who are monitoring us, this conversation right now, Ollie, you know, what message have we got for them?
I would say the message for them is, come on, guys, go home, hug your wife, take care of your family. Life is short, you know, and it's absolutely ridiculous that you are monitoring this, but because you can just turn the radio on and listen to it. It's not a secret, you know, so it's an absolute joke. And I would say, please inform you about whose agenda you are serving. It goes for so many people in uniform, SWAT teams, riot police, normal police. Whose agenda are you serving? And please study history and see the parallels with the Hitler regime, which is following the exact same step. If you study history now and study history just pre-war and Hitler and all the way up until and how it ended, we're getting close to the end, I would say. Please also see that the way that people like you, if you are working with us, what would be called or labeled the enemy soon, you will not be treated mildly by the population. That is not the way that it happens. So now is the time to stop it, to take a step away, to stop cooperating, to become aware of what you're doing. I mean, that is also, you know, security, so-called security, where the only thing is that it's a is about is controlling the population. There's no need for all of these things in the airports or security controls or buses, and I mean surveillance cameras. It's all of that is based on fake acts of terror.
Yeah, inside fake jobs. Fake fear is what they're creating.
Fake fear. There's absolutely no need for all these body scanners. In all my years, and I have spent, like I said, almost, you know, it's more than 30 years now, I have not managed to find one single real terrorist. Every single time, it's inside jobs. Inside jobs.
But they are the terrorists, Ollie. You found them.
I found them, but not the ones that we're told are the terrorists. No. I'm sorry, I should rephrase that. You know, the real terrorists are the people you see on TV many times every day. You know, nice suits, big cars, a nice smile and so on. Check out, find out about them, find out their hidden agenda and see what's going on.
Absolutely.
And stop playing their game.
Absolutely. And often I think to myself, you know, I mean, I asked you that question, what would you say to them? Well, I would say to them is, you are murdering, killing and ending possibility of life on our planet in the future. Will you cop the feck on? Stop working for evil idiots who seem to think that it's a good thing to cull and to control.
Beautiful way of putting it.
Baffles the feck out of me why they do it. It really does. I mean, we've got people here who put on, you know, protective clothing to administer a drug, which is obviously a dangerous, Sean, toxic acid. Sorry, go on, Nolly. Did you say something then? Hello? Ollie?
No, I was cut out again, but I came back.
Okay. I was just about to say that, what I was saying was we have, you know, guys who are willing to put on these incredible, protective, like nuclear power suits, to fill our water with the medication that they say is safe for us to drink. And, you know, they know damn well that if they spill a little bit on the floor, it eats the concrete. If they spill a little bit on them without their suit or gloves on, they will get hurt. So why the feck